Today is the day of Pentecost. And as we take a look at selected verses in Acts chapter 2, you're going to want to read this whole chapter, but we're going to take selected verses today. We find out, we get to see what God is up to in our world. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. What a beginning. First of all, we have a divine disturbance. It's very noticeable, the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is sound. There is sensory items. You feel the wind. You see the tongues. The words here are not words of imagination or enchantment or storytelling. They are words that are stretched, trying to tell a deeper truth. The presence of the Holy Spirit of God. It's indescribable. And words break down. But Luke makes a noble attempt. Luke wants to make sure everybody knows it was clearly the Spirit of God that was being experienced. And I think as you think back through your own life, you may have had moments where you sensed the presence of God. It might have been in feeding the hungry. It might have been in serving somebody, in advocating and seeing justice fulfilled. I remember when the first team that Covenant sent to build a house in Reynosa returned back, and we had a debriefing, a small group gathering, and they shared with tears how they truly felt in the presence of heaven. That the people of Reynosa sang praises with great joy, even though they had no material possessions. They certainly had no shelter such as what we have here in Chester County. They were in the presence of the Spirit of God. That's what Luke is saying here. The Spirit of God came to the disciples in a demonstrable divine disturbance. Now, with the Spirit too, notice that they began to speak in other languages. They crossed the barriers and could communicate, both speaking and being heard in those languages. It's fascinating how language is so important. Not only we may think we speak English, but we have different nuances. We have different meanings for the phrases we share. I counsel couples, and even though they both might speak the same English language in this case, their family languages are different. They use family phrases in different ways. They accent different words. And so you almost have to read between the lines. I married Mary Gossard, but I don't speak the Gossard language. She has to interpret for me, what are the Gossards saying here? I can't take it in. And she doesn't speak Moyerese. I have to translate, and I've been trying to translate for 45 years. What are the Moyers trying to say? But here, with the power of the Holy Spirit, that communication divide is gone. Language doesn't separate them. Verse 5, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound, the sound of the Holy Spirit, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" And then Luke goes on to record all of the different countries that are represented. They're from the entire Near Eastern world. Different cultures, different languages, different traditions coming together, but all able to understand what's being said. We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." It's fascinating, isn't it, that people's response to the presence of God divides into. Some are keenly aware of it and discern it. What's happening here? They're amazed. Others cannot accept the presence of a divine force. So they write it off. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, but they write it off to, they're drunk. It's new wine speaking here. And they miss the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. He's about to give the sermon of his life. Who is this Peter? Just a few weeks prior, when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied being a disciple of Jesus three times. Three times he was asked, "Aren't you a disciple of this Jesus?" And he said, "I am not." Three times he denied, and he only gave a very brief sentence, "I am not." Well, now Peter is changed. He's empowered. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And he gives the sermon of his life, drawing upon the scriptures. He starts with the prophecies of Joel, and he tells them that this day was coming. He tells them about Jesus of Nazareth. He describes the arrest, the crucifixion, and also the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. He has poured out this, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that day, people were cut to the heart. And they repented. They were baptized, splashed in the waters of grace, and they received the Holy Spirit. We see what God is up to in the world with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice also it came to community. It came to the disciples who were together, and it came to followers of God who were separate, but it came to them as a community and pulled them even closer together. There's no privatization here. Oh yeah, I got my faith. No, it's a shared faith in God in Christ Jesus that was given on the day of Pentecost. For this we give thanks. And our next hymn is "There is a Redeemer." And the refrain is, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son. and leaving your spirit till the work on earth is done. So during this hymn, reflect on what God is doing in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to take up the second part, leaving your spirit till the work on earth is done. We're going to draw upon insights of the end of chapter 2 that give us guidance for going forward with the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is amazing. We have seen what God has done on Pentecost and continues to do in our world. The Spirit rushes in among people who have well-fortified boundaries. We have our unyielding and beliefs and interpretations that we're going to hold to the day we die. And the Spirit comes in and takes that away. The power source of God available to the people, and people of incredible diversity, from Cretans and Arabs to Parthians and Medes and people from Egypt, just like today. People from Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona and Florida, people with quite different opinions. The Spirit comes in, fills us with God's grace, forgives us, and unites us. Let's look now at the end of chapter 2 at the character and the commitments of this Spirit-formed community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The Spirit of God is the power for community, and the community needs to stay connected to this power source that gives new vision, new daring, indestructible hope. What are, I like the phrase one theologian used, what are the resurrection practices of this community that's centered around God in Christ Jesus? The first thing you hear, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles were sharing all of the teachings they heard for 3 years, everything they learned from Jesus over 3 years. They're sharing now, they're teaching, they're demonstrating the parables, the healing, the compassion, the care. Everything we read about in the Gospels about Jesus is being shared. And these people are devoted to that. The first resurrection practice, devoted to the Word of God, the living Word of God. Now, we ebb and flow on this. I mean, let's be honest. There are months and seasons where we're into Bible study or we're looking things up. Then sometimes we might visit visited somebody and we were talking about the Psalms, and I said, can you get Psalm 27? I want to share something with you. It was just a casual conversation. And the response was, I have a Bible around here somewhere. Okay, we've all been there. We've all said that. A Bible. I have a Bible around here somewhere. They were devoted. We have to stay devoted day in, day out. Okay, if we're going to stay connected to the power source of the Spirit, we need the living Word of God. So that's the first resurrection practice, devoted to God. And fellowship, this idea of community, of breaking bread, sharing prayers with people. That's really important, heart-to-heart connections. Now, during this pandemic, this has been hard for us to engage in fellowship. We're trying to Zoom together. We're trying to talk, trying to make more phone calls. It's really hard to continue the fellowship, but it's so important. And the Spirit's going to empower us in ways to continue that activity. Stay connected to the Spirit. All who believed had all things in common, and they met the needs of anyone. You know, building bridges of care is so important. But it means we have to understand the other person or the other community. If we're going to meet their needs, if we're going to share and be generous and assist people, we have to listen and learn and understand them. Our society today continues to be divided in so many dimensions. The racial tension that we've been hearing on the news, it's just awful, sad, it's horrific. The red-blue mud in the middle of a pandemic, John Meacham, historian, called it a partisan pandemic. There are forces on earth to divide, to separate, and we need to stay connected to the Holy Spirit that seeks to unite and helps us to listen and communicate and meet needs. Our hope is in the Holy Spirit. And our challenge and our opportunity within covenant and within your household is to be a bridge builder where you live, in your neighborhood, in your work, in your doings, in your activities, in your recreation, in your everyday life. And finally, they ate food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. There is incredible joy here. The joy of Jesus is what propels us. And that spirit of joy, that spirit of celebration, that exuberance is the way that we witness. This is good news. This is not serious work, the faith of God in Christ Jesus. It's good news. It's great news. It's amazing news. Because it's all about forgiveness, and it's about grace, and it's about compassion, and it's about being able to understand and connect heart to heart with other people. These are the resurrection practices of the community of faith that stays connected to the power source, the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit, we have great hope for our church, for the churches across this country and the churches around the world. The Spirit is moving, not just on the day of Pentecost, but each and every day. To God be the glory.